an operation of the gift of discerning of spirits. In other words, you're able to see into the realm of the spirit. And those obviously can be very, very beneficial. Another time, I think it was the same minister had this gift operating, and this man was about to go into an insane asylum. They had all the paperwork done and everything, and he had been prayed for a number of times, but they took him to this meeting this last time to give him an opportunity to come. And this minister prayed for him a number of times, and then suddenly the gift of discerning of spirits was operating, and he was able to see a demon who had kind of like a headlock around this man's head. And this man actually said, he said, "I feel like there's a tight band around my head all the time. It's causing great confusion." Well, that demon was cast out and the man was healed, was delivered. You see, that was a gift of discerning of spirits, able to see into the realm of the spirit. Now, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about and things that, I'll give you another example. And you've heard many of these before in the past, but this one is so plain as well. A gift of discerning of spirits can be that when you go into a home, me and another lady went into a home one time and started discerning what objects in the house were actually entranceways for demonic spirits to operate in their home. They had called me and asked me to go to their home and check the home out and so forth. So I took another lady with me, Alexandra, who's sensitive in this area. And both of us together, we discerned what things in the home were used by the enemy as a doorway into their home to influence their home. One of the reasons why I was called there initially was because the man said, "My children," he said, "I just don't know what to do with them. They're so unruly." They heard me teaching a little bit along these kind of lines, and they said, "We're thinking that there must be something in the home that is causing a lot of confusion." And sure enough, there was. They had been out to another land, and they'd brought some stuff back from that land that were obviously had witchcraft attached to them. And so this is a gift of operation of discerning of spirits, being able to see, be able to understand. Now, Corinne actually gave a good example of that last week. Remember when she was talking last week? She was talking about having this certain program on her television. She was doing clothes, not really paying a lot of attention to it, but watching it in a way. And Nora, one of them kids, started acting up tremendously, and they started having nightmares and full of fear and things happening with them. And she went to prayer about it and said, "Lord, what is all this? What's going on?" Because normally she's very happy. And she felt that the Lord told her, "You shouldn't be watching that show." And, you know, she said, she asked Jim, "What do you think? You think that would be influential?" And Jim agreed that maybe she shouldn't watch that show. So she shut the thing off or stopped watching that show, and things completely changed with Nora. Discerning of spirits. She got information from the realm of the spirit, letting her know that what she was doing was opening the door to a demonic influence to influence her children. You see, these things don't happen just out in foreign land. They're real. They're amongst us. You and I have the ability to shut these things out. And the more we shut these things out, the more we invite Holy Spirit to come then and fill our homes so that our homes will be a place of peace. Our homes will be a place of joy. I want to read you a scripture with the operation of gift of discerning of spirits that's written in Acts chapter 5, how the Apostle Peter operated in this gift as well. In Acts chapter 5, at this time, many people were selling lands, the Bible said. They were selling things and bringing them to the feet of the apostle so that they could distribute it amongst the people in church and do the things that needed to be done in the ministry. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 says, "But a man named Ananias, his wife Sapphira, conniving in this with him, sold a piece of land." In other words, the two of them were conniving together. "They secretly kept part of the price for himself, and then brought the rest to the apostle and made an offering of it. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how did Satan get you to lie to the Holy Spirit and secretly keep back part of the price of the field? Before you sold it, it was all yours. And after you sold it, the money was yours to do with as you wish. So what got into you to pull this trick, a trick like this? You didn't lie to men, but to God. I'm reading from the Message Bible. You didn't lie to men, but to God. So Peter's saying, Ananias, you had this land. It was your land. You could do what you want with it. You had this money when you sold the land. It was your money. You could do what you want with it. You didn't have to bring all the money here, but you said that you brought all the money here. So you lied not to man, but to God. So he was discerning this by the Spirit of God, saying you lied, coming, presenting as if you brought everything. You said that you brought everything, and you lied to the Holy Spirit. So the issue here is not that he didn't bring all the money, it was that he lied. He didn't need to bring all the money. God didn't command him to bring all the money. But he lied to the Holy Spirit. And so we have to watch what we do with our finances to make sure that we're not lying to the Holy Spirit when it comes to our finances. Make sure that what we believe in our heart about finances, we're doing with them, what things that would please the Holy Spirit. Now it says in verse 5, Ananias, when he heard those words, fell down dead. That put the fear of God into everyone who heard of it. The younger men went right to work, wrapped him up, then carried him out and buried him. Not more than 3 hours later, his wife, knowing nothing of what had happened, came in. In other words, she didn't know that Ananias had come and he actually was dead now. Peter said, tell me, were you given this price for your field? Yes, she said, that price. Peter responded, what's going on here that you have connived to conspire against the Spirit of the Master? The men who buried your husband are at the door and you're next. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than she also fell dead. When the young men returned, they found her body. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. By this time, the whole church and in fact, everyone who heard of these things had a healthy respect for God. They knew that God was not to be trifled with. Now, that's a pretty traumatic story, isn't it, when you read that? But yet, when we lie to the Holy Spirit, obviously God takes that very, very seriously. In fact, Jesus said at one point, he said, you can blaspheme the Son, even God. You can blaspheme a lot of these things, and they will be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme, if you talk against, or even if you lie to the Holy Spirit, these are not going to be forgiven. It seems like the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are special. They have your uniqueness. And boys, lying to the Holy Spirit is obviously not tolerated. So there was a gift of discerning of spirits by the Apostle Peter that was operated. He knew what they had done. I'm sure that nobody really told him about it, because I'm telling you one thing. If somebody told me that you did that, somebody told me that Robert did that, for instance, and I knew about it, I'll tell you one thing I'm not going to do is call them out and tell him, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I just think, well, that's his business. God's going to have to deal with him, not me. But if God tells me, if God operates a spirit of discerning of spirits, or a gift of discerning of spirits, if God releases something to us, and it just begins to come out, then it's a different story altogether. It's God bringing judgment. You see, I'm just like you. I like to be just sweet and nice and light and everything like that. I like that. But if God tells me to tell you something, if God puts it on my heart, I say, God, give me the boldness to share it. Give me the boldness to tell it. I want to love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. Thank you for that. Now, let's look at another gift of discerning of spirits. In Acts chapter 8, the apostles went to Samaria and they prayed for a group to receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, they heard that they were Christians and they went there to release Holy Spirit to them. Acts chapter 8, verse 17. Then the apostle Paul laid hands on the people of Samaria and they did receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if we were to go back and read the story, Simon was he operated in witchcraft before the apostles came, or before actually Philip came there and preached the message to the Samaritans. And he seen what was wrong with the way with his ways, so he got saved. But he was a man who wanted to influence people. And so the apostles laid hands on the believers, and they were filled with the Spirit. And when Simon saw that the apostles, by merely laying on hands, conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money, excited. So he wanted to buy this gift. He said, "Sell me your secret. Show me how you did this. How much do you want? Name your price." Peter said, "To hell with your money." This is the Message translation. King James puts it a little bit milder. He says, "To hell with the money and you along with it." Why? That's unthinkable, unthinkable, trying to buy the gift of God. He said, that's unthinkable, trying to buy the gift of God. "You'll never be part of what God is doing by striking bargains and offering bribes. Change your ways now. Ask the Master to forgive you for trying to use God to make money." I believe there's going to be a lot of people, when we stand before Christ, we're going to have to answer for this. Trying to use God to make money. Verse 23, "I can see this is an old habit with you. You reek with money lust." "Oh," said Simon, "pray for me. Pray to the Master that nothing like this will ever happen to me." I give Simon credit there. He had enough sense. They asked the apostles to pray for him. Once he was revealed by a spirit of discerning of spirits what was wrong with him. He was trying to buy the gift of God with money. I wish the body of Christ would change that quick. Whenever something is pointed out to them that's wrong, that they shift. And, "Oh, pray for me about this problem. Help me. Help me get delivered from this so that I won't continually be yielding to it. Pray for me," he said. So this gift of discerning of spirit came to reveal what was really in the person's heart. You see, a lot of the time you and I don't want some of these things functioning in our midst because we don't want our heart revealed. We don't want others to see what we are carrying in our hearts. But yet God sees it all the time. God knows exactly what's in our hearts. And Holy Spirit wants to reveal what's in your heart, mostly to you. I am convinced that some of these things that have happened, even like Ananias and Sapphira, that probably that judgment came where they both died. Probably that was the last time that God was dealing with them. Probably God had sent people to them before and said some things to them, but they wouldn't repent of it. And I've noticed an experience of over years watching people in many, many, many situations, how they refused to repent when sin was revealed, how they refused to acknowledge what they need, or pardon me, what they did, and as a result, got off in the ditch. You see, the reason why God wants to reveal something in your life that is not right is so that you can deal with it and move on and you'll be a whole person. That's the reason. It's not that he wants to reveal it and then beat you with it. You see, a lot of times people, we don't want to allow people into our lives to see some things because we think they'll use that against me. Well, that's not the way God is. God says, "Let me have a look into your heart, into your spirit. Let me reveal that to you so that you can be healed in that area. So that you can be released from being in bondage. You can be released from the thing that the enemy is using to torment you. Because God wants you full of joy. He wants you walking in peace. He wants you walking in prosperity. The scripture says, I pray that you might be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. He desires for us to have good things, and everything that he does it in order to bless us. Bring us into a place of peace and joy and love. When we enter into a trial, some things happen where when we're having difficulties in life, he says, count it all joy. Why count it joy? Because God is doing something in our lives in order to release joy into our lives. He's doing something in our lives for our good. He wants to take out the things that are harassing us and causing us problems and replace it with something good. I don't believe in this message of grace where no matter what you do, no matter what you're involved in, God's grace will take care of everything. You won't be held accountable for anything. There is that message out there. You'll not hear it from me. We will be held accountable for the things that we do. But when we do them, when they're revealed to us, we repent and God releases us from that. In other words, if we've got an addiction and we come before God and we say, God, help us. I know what's wrong. I know this addiction I have is wrong. I'm asking you to help me. And God will be there to help you. The problem comes with, I know I've got this addiction and I like it. I'm okay. God doesn't mind. It's all right. I'm not hurting anybody. It's only me. That's where the problem lies. If you've got an addiction somewhere and you're praying and asking God and you're helping others, asking others to pray for you and say, I want to get rid of this. That's the right attitude to have. That's where God's grace comes in. It gives you grace to shift and change so that we can get out of what we do and into what He wants us to do. But the Spirit of God loves us too much to let us stay in that which troubles us. In the things that trouble us, He loves us too much. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are to be stirred up within us. They are. Gifts of discerning of spirits. Well, how would you stir that gift up? Well, you would spend time in prayer and the Word of God and being sensitive to the Spirit, learning how to yield to Him and so forth. That's one of the ways that you would stir up this gift. You would acknowledge the gift of God. Leighton Ford, how many know who Leighton Ford is? A number of you know who Leighton Ford is. He worked with Billy Graham Ministries for years, great evangelist. He evangelized tremendously, had the gift of evangelism. But he said this, he said, I have noticed that it's not until I stir up the gift of the evangelist in my life that God has given me. It is not until I stir this up that I enjoy the goodness and blessing and fulfillment of God in all other areas of my life. I thought that's interesting. The thing, when we stir up the gifts that God has given us, it opens us up for the blessing of God in every other area of life, not just that particular area. You see, when we are functioning in the way God has called us to function, it opens us up for the blessing of God and the peace of God to be upon our lives. But if we never take time to discover the gift of God, to discover what He has put in us, then we can go through this whole life and never really have the sense of fulfillment that God desires for us. Make it a priority in your life to discover the gift that God has given you. You might say, well, Pastor Bill, how do I do that? Well, one is you can start by filling out one of these forms, because that will give us a path to follow in, to see what our gifting is that God has called us to. He's called us to family. We know that. We know that God has called us to the body of Christ, don't we? We know that the Bible speaks about the body of Christ coming together. Well, if we never come to church, we'll never enjoy that gift, will we? If we're never connected to the body, we'll never enjoy that gift. We'll never enjoy these things. We only enjoy what we take time to discover. I'm so glad I discovered Jesus. I'm so glad I discovered Him. He is so absolutely wonderful. There is no fear found in Jesus. And everything that Jesus came to deliver to you and I, He already enjoys. And to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is to accept His peace, His grace, His love, His joy. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Scripture says, I have said these things to you so that your joy might be made full. It's amazing the amount of times that the Bible talks about joy and how He wants us to live in joy. And you and I have to pursue that as well, like any other gift. Joy is a fruit, but it's also something that if we don't pursue, we'll not experience in our lives. We can pursue it. We get so used to the mundane of life, we forget that God has called us to joy. And so we never do things to allow us to have a sense of joy, a sense of His peace and joy in our lives. But yet He wants us to discover those things. Stand up with me, please. I was going to talk about the gift of evangelists this morning, but obviously we didn't get to it. But I do believe that as we discover the gifts of God, we are going to discover whole new expansion of what God has called us to. He's called us to peace and joy and happiness. You see, people, I know that you're like me, that you desire to come to a place where you have an explosive experience with God, something that is just absolutely phenomenal. God touching you in ways that you've never experienced before. I'm all for that. Praise God for it. But I've noticed something about our Christian experience. We have to learn to function in joy in the mundane of life, in everyday life, in everyday experiences. We have to learn to function in that, because that's what God has called us to. He's called us to everyday experience. He's never called any of us to live on the mountain. Jesus didn't take Peter and John with him up in the mountain, and when he was transfigured and they seen Jesus glowing and they had an awesome experience on the mountain. He didn't stay up there. And Peter wanted to stay there. He said, let's build some tabernacles up here. Let's build some tents and let's just camp up here because it's so wonderful and beautiful. But no, Jesus took them down the mountain again, and the first thing they had to do when they got down the mountain was deal with a demon-possessed boy. So once in a while, we get up there in those mountains and we think, that's absolutely wonderful. God has blessed me. God has opened my eyes. Just God has poured His love on me. And you experience that, but then you're supposed to come down the mountain and administer what you receive while you're on the mountain. God desires for each one of us to be so full of Him that we will automatically pour out His love and grace to others around us. And we can do that by experiencing and discovering our spiritual gifts. We have a responsibility for this. And I don't believe you're a lazy church. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe you love God, you want to serve God, you want to discover what God has given you, so that you can be a greater blessing to someone else. As we worship Him, I want God to speak to you. And sometimes God can speak to you about what He wants you to pursue, what particular area of gifting He wants you to pursue. Gifting of intercession, we talked about that. But there's some areas that God will want you to pursue. Even as we worship, ask Him that. Lord, what is it? What is the gift that You have given me? What have You placed in me that's unique to me and not to anyone else? And as you do, I believe God will start to speak to you and say, I want you to pursue this area. I want you to move in this area and see what develops. And God will release greatness in you. Let's worship Him.